Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. The church needs to have some life. Amen. We are not the frozen chosen. We are the living church. We are His body. And His body lives and breathes and moves on this earth. And He is the head. He is the head of the church. He is the head of the body. And He lives in you. He lives in you. He lives in me. Come on, church. Amen. 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 So this morning my sermon is entitled Dead Men Walking. That's right. You laugh because you watched that evil show. That's right. Yeah. Come for deliverance at the end of the service. Dead men walking. Today we're going to talk about some dead men. Amen. I'm so excited. First of all, let me just say this again. I can't say it enough. I am so happy to be back with you guys. I absolutely am so thankful to God for this mandate to be here with you guys. You just don't know what an honor it is for me. And my grandfather was a very hardworking man. He left Greece and traveled to South Africa, and he opened up a business. He did many things, but one thing he did was he opened up a business, and he never could leave his business because he became so attached to it. It became such a part of him. And I always used to look at him and think, what's wrong with him? And now I feel like that with the church. It's so hard for me to leave because I just love you guys so much. And I the church has become such a part of my life, and it's just an honor. It's such an honor. And I understand now, you know, he was business, me, it's you people. Amen. So I'm very thankful for that. And I'm thankful to the Lord. You know, this morning is all about the resurrection. We celebrated the cross on Friday. And we'll talk a little bit about that this morning because it'll just kind of lay the foundation for where we are. But the reality is that love is the motivation of Jesus going to the cross. And that's what this morning's message is all about, even though it is about dead men walking. Amen. It was hard for me to come up with that title. But while I was praying this morning, I changed it to that because the Lord gave me a word. So I'm excited about that. So today is not about Easter eggs. It's not about bunnies. And not that, listen, if you want to have Easter eggs, that's fine. Amen. Let's not get into that. But that's not what it's about. It's not about the bunnies. Listen, it's not about the fancy clothes, the nice church outfits for Easter Sunday, even though we do like to get dressed up nice. Amen. On Easter Sunday. It's not about the nice perfume and those things and the church gimmicks, church in the park, church in the mall. It's not about that this morning. This morning, it's all about Him. We celebrate today, I believe, the greatest miracle that ever took place. But let's start from the beginning, because I believe there's a story to be told that must be heard. And this morning I want to share with you my heart, because I feel like over the last few years, this message is like what it all just sort of comes crashing down to. And I don't want today to be like just one of those days where we go and we hear a message and then we leave and we don't change. Because I know I've left church like that so many times. In the service, I'm touched, I get goosebumps and all that stuff. But at the end of the day, nothing really changes. But this message and this day is all about the resurrection. And what the resurrection represents is life. Real life, true life. Not just existing. Not just what we perceive to be life, but real life. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. But let's start, as I said, from the beginning. God created us because He loves us. He created us in His image and likeness because He wanted to have fellowship with us. He wanted us to have dominion on this earth. Isn't that amazing? That He created human beings. And if you study it, we can go into it. It's so fascinating to really understand what man actually represents. But He did say, you'll have dominion on this earth. And we all know what happened. Adam and Eve messed up real bad. And unfortunately, that sin cost us all. I don't really understand that, to be honest. Why should I suffer because of Adam? But we do, and we have. But it's amazing because God is so good and He is so loving that He immediately put a plan in action to try and restore man to Himself. And we see God do the most amazing things. And just because of what today represents, the story I told on Friday was about the Passover. And God made a way for the Hebrew people, His people, to be passed over from the angel of death. He made a way when they took the blood and put it on the doorposts and on the lintel, and that represented, that sacrifice paid for sin and death, and they didn't die. What also happened was at that moment, Pharaoh released the children of Israel. In our own lives today, it's kind of the same thing. It's the blood of Jesus on our lives, in our lives, but it must be applied to our lives in order for us to truly be able to be free. There's an angel, a fallen angel, who stands and accuses and points the finger at you and says you're guilty. But if that blood is applied in your life, you are not guilty. You will not die. You will have eternal life. You will live forever. But living forever is not what it's only all about. I want to live now. I want to experience God now. Amen. So we see God make a way from the beginning with the children of Israel, and they go into the promised land, and they go into the wilderness, and in the wilderness we see God supplying all their needs. A pillar of fire, a cloud of smoke in the day, miracle after miracle. He strikes the rock and water comes out of the rock. They were fed in the day. They would wake up and there'd be a manna in the morning, and God supplied supernaturally. They became dependent on God. He was supernatural. Listen, when you truly get delivered, when you truly encounter Jesus Christ, you too can walk in abundance and in supernatural provision with God. I know what I'm talking about. Amen. He took them out of bondage, fed them in the wilderness. He did so many things. He destroyed the giants. The walls came tumbling down. He killed thousands with a jawbone. He took them into the promised land. But it's amazing, this human nature that we have, this fallen nature, because this nature always takes us back to one thing, and that one thing is ourselves. You see, they betrayed God. After He delivered, after He saved, after He made a way, after He healed, after He did miracle, after He showed supernatural favor, they betrayed Him. And it was at that point that the blood of a lamb was no longer enough. So what is it that God would do that would show what true love really is? A substitute was no longer good enough. What is man's biggest problem? You are. You are your biggest problem. Oh God, like Paul said, who will deliver me from this body? Oh wretched man that I am. You see, he understood something. We stand in our way with God more than anybody else. More than any devil. Listen, the devil's easy to sort out if you understand the blood, if you understand your authority. But the biggest problem you'll always face is you. And I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about me in my life. How do I know this? Because I have to live with it every single day. I have to face myself every morning when I get up. How can we save ourselves from ourselves when we have a nature that we cannot control? You've tried. Did you get it right? In myself, I've realized over the years, and even to this day, that I cannot overcome without him. But this morning, I'm hoping. I mean, I said to the Lord this morning while I was praying, I said to him, Father, I don't even know how to preach this word that you've given me. Because it's like, it's just knocked me out. Amen. Are we all okay in Vero Beach? A substitute was no longer good enough. So God made a sacrifice that shows us what true love really is. A love we don't truly understand. And the reality is, I can honestly say, as a pastor who strives to understand this love more than anything in my walk with God, I know I will never fully comprehend it. I will never fully comprehend the love of God, the love of the Father. But the only clue I have is to look at Calvary. And when I look at Calvary, I start to understand just a little bit of what that love really represents. We won't understand it. But what is this true love? This true love is quite simple in its complexity. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Can you comprehend this? Do you understand what this will save you from? This will save you from yourself. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Love has a name. That name is Jesus. That is the only name that can save you. That is the only name that can deliver you. He said we should become more like him. He said we should give up our lives and serve him. He said that we should make him Lord of our lives. In other words, not my life, Lord, but your life. I need to die because I need to become more like you. But we can't understand this because our nature goes against this 100%. You see, we are born in a society that teaches us one thing. It's my right. It's my right. It's my right to feel the way I feel. It's my right to do what I do. It's my right to be 12 years old and sleep with whoever I want. It's my right to feel, listen, I don't love my husband anymore. It's my right. This is what's happened to us. This is how we fall. This is how we feel. This is how we live. It's my right. Listen, I'm no longer a guy. I'm a girl now. It's my right. It's my right. Listen, now we can't say Jesus on TV anymore. Now we can't have prayer in the White House anymore. Apparently it's not allowed. It's my right to have an abortion. It's my right. And it's all this right that has caused us to be separated from God. You see, the reality is that so much, especially of what the church and the cross and this whole thing, Jesus the Christ, this whole thing, the reality is that when we are living in a place where it is my right, it becomes an offense to us. The cross becomes an offense to us because how is it possible that someone could be so selfless and give his life that way? How is it possible that someone could die for you? Someone could live his entire life on this earth with one mission to save you. Can you live like that? Can you? I struggle to do that. Amen. We look at this cross and it is an offense to us because of our fallen nature. And Paul says this, and this is what I love about Paul, because so many people use Paul's writings to say that we can do and live how we want, but that's not how it is. Watch what he says here. It's so powerful. You all okay? Amen. Galatians 5, verse number 11. And I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution? Then the offense of the cross has ceased. I could wish that those who trouble you would even cut themselves off. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love. Here's the key. serve one another. Through love, serve one another. Now watch, for all the law is fulfilled in one word. Even in this, you shall, and here's the word, love one another. The word is love. The word is love. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love is selfless. But it's hard for us to comprehend what it means to truly live selflessly. As soon as I mention repentance, as soon as I mention dying to yourself in church services, I've had more people walk out at that moment than anything else that I preach. I'm amazed. I'm amazed. But it happens time and time again. I'll start speaking about that it's not good to sin. And people get upset. I'll say that we should repent when we mess up. And people get angry. Have you read your Bible? Now watch. Because this is where it all shifts. And we have this hope. Watch. Philippians 3 verse number 10. Are you guys okay? All right. That I may know Him. And the power of His resurrection. And the fellowship of His suffering. Being conformed to His death. Being conformed to His death. What? The reality is that the word fellowship there, fellowship, is the same word that's used to describe your relationship with the Holy Spirit. A little softer, whoever that is. The word fellowship is the word koinonia in the Greek, which describes a close partnership. Which basically describes a partnership, close relationship, sharing. The Bible says that we should also fellowship in His suffering. But the problem is we don't understand it. Because for us, we just think of pain. The reality is it's not like that. When you truly understand what it means to give your life in place of your life, when you take His death and you take what He's given you and you apply it to your life, you will begin to understand that only when you begin to die that you will only begin to live. You see, we all have to carry a cross. Doesn't matter which dispensation you're in. The reality is you have to carry a cross. Try waking up tomorrow morning and telling your wife, listen, sweetheart, thank you so much that you married me and now I'm just going to lie on the couch and you need to serve me. Take care of the kids. Listen, you know, we're in covenant now and, you know, I'm just so grateful for our relationship and, you know, you've laid your life down for me, sweetheart. So now, you know, I'm just going to enjoy the spoils of this awesome sacrifice that you've made. So I'm just going to relax and you can serve me and give me all the benefits of being married. And when I click my fingers, it needs to happen and everything must just be perfect. See how that works out for you. Listen, the biggest problems in relationships and marriages is the same problem we have even with our relationship with God and our lives. Self. Because she no longer makes me happy. Because she no longer does this. Or I feel like I'm falling out of love with you. Listen, listen, you've got to get to that place where you've made a commitment. It's a sacrifice. It's a covenant. Amen. You will find out that you have to lay your life down, even in your job. You have to lay your life down in your ministry, with your children. You can't do what you want all the time if you have kids. Listen, I have a 16-month-old baby. He rules the world at the moment. But I can be someone who says, listen, I couldn't care about what he wants to do, and he must just do what I want to do. And he must just follow me and just do what I want. And he must come with me everywhere I want to go. And it doesn't matter. And when he needs to sleep, I don't care. Shut that thing up, man. But it takes laying my life down for my child. Your relationship, your marriage. Listen, Once you have children, and listen, there's no condemnation, guys, but I need you to know this. Once you are married, you and you have children, guess what? That covenant has been enlarged. You are not only cheating on your spouse when you cheat on her. You are also cheating on your kids. You've laid your life down for nobody but yourself. So many of our struggles. What are we struggling about? Because it's my need. It's my desire. One more drink for me. One more time. I just need to shoot that. One more video of porn. Whatever it is. Just for me. Just to satisfy me. Right? Now watch. Matthew 10 verse 39. The hardest thing for us is to lay our lives down, to carry our own cross, to fellowship in the suffering, to fellowship with Him the way He did, to lay our lives down for others. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. Now just hang on, because it's about to get really good, okay? Let's go back to Philippians 3 verse number 10. That I may know Him, the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His suffering, being conformed to His death. If I lay down my opinions, my rights, if I lay down my life, and I take His life, and His word, and the truth, and I apply it to my life, listen, something happens. Something happens. Let's read it again. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being conformed to His death. The reality is, once you receive Christ and you truly receive Him and you say, listen, I see this death, I see the sacrifice. Now, Lord, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Take my life and use my life. Let me not just go to church and have an Easter Sunday experience, but this year, Lord, take my life and change it forever. I want to serve You. I want to follow You. I can't get rid of those sins and those things that I suffer with. I can't. I need You. I need the resurrection power. I need to share. I need to fellowship in that resurrection power. Because the reality is, once you say, not my will, but Your will, Lord, I can't do it, but greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world, then you will be able to overcome those things that you suffer with, that you struggle with. You see, the reason why so many of us don't serve God anymore is because we think we can't do it, because we think it's too hard, but it's not. Because His yoke is light and easy to bear. When we start to understand that it's not our will but His will, then we begin to share in the power of His resurrection. Too many preachers want to do it their way. Too many of us want to live the way we want to live, when it's very clear in the Bible what the guidelines are. Not so that God can have His way, just so that we can live and truly live. Amen. Amen. It's His resurrection that makes all of the difference. Jesus said this in John 11, 25. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. See, many of us apply that to eternal death. And yes, I'm sure it means that. But the reality is he who believes in me and decides at that moment, listen, I'm no longer going to do it my way. I'm going to live, Lord, the way you want me to live. Then you die and he begins to live in you. And then everything changes. Amen. I can only be a good father if I can understand this. I can only be a good teacher, pastor, if I can truly understand this. I can only be a good son to the Father if I truly understand this. I can only be a good parent, a good child. I can only be good if I begin to understand what it means to not do it my way, but to do it His way. Amen. Amen. I hope this is coming out right. Amen. Listen, there was 12 men. 12 men that walked with Jesus. 12 men that saw what He did and saw how He lived. And it took 12 men to change the world. When we finally surrender, the struggle, listen, that you have, and I know you have it, because I have it. And when we really get honest, if we truly get honest, we will admit we all have a struggle. But the minute we begin to understand that it's not my will, but Your will, Lord, and we begin to truly live that way, the struggle becomes easier. The burden becomes lighter. Amen. 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 12 men took that message. Once Jesus rose from the dead, and whether you like it or not, regardless of what they teach you or don't teach you, they were 12 dead men. Because if you look at their lives, every single one of them ended up dying for the cause. Now, I'm not saying you must die for the cause. Amen. Jesus wants us to live and live abundantly and have success and have a wonderful life. Amen. Absolutely. But what I'm saying is don't think for one second that that didn't cost them. It cost them their lives. They were 12 dead men that took the message that changed the world. Not their lives, but His life. Amen. Now, when Jesus came to this earth, I want to read this quickly to you. Mark 1, verse number 12. Mark 1, verse number 12. Watch this now. We all know that when Jesus was baptized, after He was baptized, He went into the wilderness. And He was in the wilderness for 40 days and He was tempted by Satan in the wilderness. And watch what happens in Mark 1 verse 12. Immediately the Spirit drove Him into the wilderness. And He was there in the wilderness for 40 days, tempted by Satan. And was with the wild beasts and the angels ministered to Him. Now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, what? Doing what? Preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. You see, immediately when Jesus came to this earth and He began to preach, He preached a message of the kingdom. You see, when we submit to His will and not our will, everything changes around us. We are no longer under the law of this world, but we are under the laws of the kingdom. We become kingdom principle people, if that makes sense. Just watch. All right. Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom. That was the message that He preached. These 12 men and women that I was talking to you about just a minute ago also preached the same message. They took the message of the kingdom. You see, the people were waiting for some kingdom to be established, but what God was saying is that when you begin to change, when you take this lower nature and you put it down, something's going to change inside you. Something's going to take place in your life that's going to change. You will no longer be part of this world system, but you'll now be part of the kingdom system. You see, God came down in the flesh and He dwelled amongst us. And then He died on that cross and rose again. And then He promised His Holy Spirit. And He said that the same power that was in me will now be inside you. Listen, we have that resurrection power living inside of us. The same message that Jesus preached, the message of the kingdom of God, was preached by His disciples. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. That message was preached in such a way that it had to have effect. Watch here now. 1 Corinthians 4, verse number 20. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. You see, it can't just be about what we say. It has to be about how we live. There must be transformation. The day you give your life to Jesus, you can't walk out the door and just carry on. There has to be power. There has to be transformation. Something has to change inside you. And when something begins to shift and change inside you, there must be power to save. There must be power to change. There must be power to deliver. There must be power to give breakthrough. There must be power to heal. There must be power to bless your life. There must be power, listen, just to give you life. That is the message of the kingdom. But it must not be in word only. It must be displayed. That's why Jesus came and he laid hands on the sick and they recovered. That's why Jesus came and he prophesied life into people. That's why he came and he gave hope and he saved the whole nation, because he laid his life down for you and I. You see, when he rose that day, he rose to give us life, to give us health, to give us blessings, finances, to give us a good life on this earth, and to give us eternal life. I've often wondered, why don't we see what we see in the book of Acts in the church today? Or why do we see so little of it? I'll tell you why. Because there aren't enough dead men walking around. There aren't enough dead men walking around. What does that mean? What it means is that we may make a decision, but we still live how we want. The Bible says that we should give our hearts to him and make a commitment to him, but we should also make him Lord of our lives. And that we should fellowship in his suffering, not to suffer, but to lay our lives down like he did. Love one another as he did. When you truly have compassion for somebody, when you truly feel their pain, when you pray for them, Jesus had compassion on him. And he laid his hands on him and he healed him. You want to see the miracles. You want to see the breakthroughs in your own life, in the lives of your loved ones. It's time to become a dead man walking. A dead man walking. Now, listen to this. And I'm going to close with this. I'm almost done. Colossians 2 verse 13 says this. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made all alive together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses. Everybody say, all my trespasses. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. The good news is that everything you've done, if you repent, he'll forgive you. He'll forgive you. Let's not be an Easter Christian. Let's not even be a Sunday Christian. Let's be dead men walking. Because when we are dead men walking, when we say, Lord, I give my life to you. Listen, you don't know how good it is. There is nothing like the presence of God. There's nothing like hearing his voice. There's nothing like worshiping him. And he comes into your room while you worship him. And he fills the room with the presence of heaven. And you have conversation with him. Listen, this is not fairy tales, man. This can happen to you. There's nothing like getting a word from him, walking into the office, and then something happens where he'd already told you. There's nothing like sharing in the secrets and the mysteries of God. Moses said, the Bible says that Moses walked with God and spoke to God face to face as a man speaks to a friend. Listen, you can have an intimate relationship with God, but it takes a decision. It takes a decision that must be followed through. Listen, I'm so tired of my life. I'm so tired of doing it my way, because it always hurts me. It always costs me. It always leads me into separation with God. But now I've had enough. I'm at the point right now in my life where I say, Lord, no longer my life, but your life. No longer me that wants to live in me, but let Christ live in me. Yes, I know that I have this, and it's been given to me, and it's paid in full, and I understand this. But you have to make a choice. You have to make a decision. Listen, we're not playing church anymore. It's not even about playing church. It's got nothing to do with it. It's about being serious about God. It's about being serious about God. Listen, if you care enough, you'll do something about it, because we can't stand by. Listen, there is a hell, but that's not the point. But there is a hell, and I don't want to see my loved ones. I don't want to see my family members. I don't want to see them die. I don't want to see them not have abundance. I don't want to see them even live on this earth and not know his goodness, not have tasted his glory and tasted his and touched his presence. Lord, there is none like you. There is none like you. I can't even Lord, I can't even present this message right. I can't do it. And Holy Spirit, I rely totally on you this morning to give me grace. Holy Spirit, you are the only one who can convict, who can change our hearts, who can show us and teach us. You are the only one, and we need you right now, even in this place, right now. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you will fill this place with your presence right now. Holy Spirit, I ask right now that you would begin to go and minister to the hearts of those in this place, those that have suffered far too long in their marriages, those who have suffered far too long with addictions, those who have suffered far too long with themselves, Father. I know what that's like. When we come to the foot of the cross and we see that sacrifice, and we give our lives to you because we believe that you are the only begotten Son, Jesus. But it's not the death that made the difference. It's the resurrection. It's the resurrection. Because the tomb was empty. And when that resurrection took place, man began to live again. And I pray, Father, that that life this morning, that resurrection life, will be breathed into every single one of us. Father, don't let us leave here unchanged. Don't let us leave here the same way. It's not about being condemned or feeling bad or feeling guilty. It's about making a decision this morning to give our lives to you. Everything I am, Lord, it belongs to you. No longer my will, but your will be done. This church, it's your church. This band, it's your band. These people, they're your people. My life is your life, Lord. Take it. Take it. Take it, Father. Take it this morning. Take it this morning. Don't let us leave here the same, Father. Please, Lord. Please, Father. Come. Your presence is here. I know you are here. And I just pray right now that you will move. If you've come into this place this morning and you say, Pastor Alex, I'm tired of living my life my way. I want to give my life to Him. I want to have abundant life. I want to live and not die. I'm not just talking about eternal life. I'm talking about even on this earth, to begin to truly live, to walk free of addiction, to walk free of bondage, of guilt, of shame. If that's you and you say, Pastor, I need to give my heart to Him this morning, not just say it, I need to really do it. If that's you, quickly lift your hand up and I'll pray for you. Hands are going up all over. I see those hands. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Too many to say. God bless you, young man. God bless you. God bless you. You can put your hands down if you've raised them. Thank you so much. So many hands have gone up. God bless every one of you in the back. God bless you. God bless you. If there's anybody else that says, Pastor Alex, it's time for me. It's time for me to just to lay my life down. I've served God before, but I've never really given my heart to Him. If that's you and you say, this morning I want to just really commit my life to Him and not just be a Sunday Christian, but a real give my heart to Him and commit my life to Him and see that resurrection power will work in my life. If that's you, lift your hand and I'll include you in this prayer. God bless you. 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 Thank you so much. God bless you in the back. God bless you. So many hands have gone up. God bless every single one of you. Every single one of you. Can we all just stand together? If I can ask you guys just to dim the lights for me. This is your moment with God right now. This is your moment. And we're going to pray together in a moment. But before we do that, I want to pray a prayer this morning. Father, we are so thankful this morning for every life that has been touched and every commitment that has been made. And as we're about to pray in just a moment, Father, for all those that have lifted their hands. And Father, as we're about to make this declaration, this prayer this morning, giving our hearts to you, even those that are here, and even myself, Father, Lord, when we pray this morning, let it really resonate in our hearts, Lord. You are such a good God. You are such a loving God. You came to give us life, life more abundantly. And you love us so much. Thank you for the cross. But thank you so much that you got up on that third day and really showed the world that you are God. And so every single person that's in here right now that has lifted their hand, and in fact, everyone, will you pray this prayer with me? But pray it, guys, this morning from your heart. Pray it from your heart. Let's all say together, Father, I come to you today in the name of Jesus, and I give my life to you. I give my heart to you. I believe that Jesus died and rose again and is the Son of God. I make you Lord of my life. Forgive me for my sins. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. Make me whole. Make me new. In Jesus' name. This day, Lord, I give my life to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Let's give the Lord a clap. Let's give the Lord a clap. You can put the lights back on. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. So many people lifted their hands this morning. So many people made this commitment this morning. Church, something is happening. God is about to do something incredible on this planet. Don't be a spectator. Be a partaker. His goodness and His mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. And listen to me. Listen to me. His grace is sufficient for you and for me. Amen. He's a good God. He's an awesome, loving God. Amen. Let me close in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for what you have done this morning in this place. We thank you for the blood. We thank you for the resurrection. We thank you for your power that is present to change and deliver us. Father, I pray that as every precious believer leaves here this morning, every precious soul leaves here this morning, that they will never be the same again. We thank you. We love you. We praise you. We worship you. I pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that the love of the Father and the communion with the Spirit be with every person as they leave here this morning. In the name of Jesus the Christ, amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.